Public Broadcasting Network. Can you hear me? I think I might have accidentally pressed mute. I think that's probably what's going on. Sorry about that. I accidentally pressed the mute button on my headset here, and that was a problem. So, sorry, everyone. You're listening to Immunize Wisely on the Republic Broadcasting Network, and today is March 13th, 2021. I am your host, Ingrid Castle. I am the director of Vaccination Liberation, a national grassroots association dedicated to providing information on vaccinations not often available to the public so that one can make the only informed choice, which is complete avoidance and refusal of any government-sanctioned injection. Our websites are vaccinetruth.com, vaccinetruth.net, and vaclib.org. My business website is humbleweed.net, where I sell specific high-quality products to help people recover their health in this day and age of vaccines, chemicals, and microwave radiation. Hence the name of the show, Immunize Wisely, which means to protect and strengthen our immune function wisely while we navigate a toxic world. We do have a chat room for the show. Thanks to Mer Bailey for creating and hosting our chat room and adding important content there and all the other fabulous participants. I learn a lot from our listeners. To participate in the chat, go to Immunize Wisely. That's with a Z in Wisely. Chatango or chat and go, depending how you see it, .com. And I often drop links into the chat room there related to our discussion. And I want to remind our listeners to support this network by becoming a monthly subscriber or a donator. It actually really costs a lot to operate a professional talk radio network, and it's primarily listener supported. It's not easy to get advertisers that will support this type of content, so you might want to also look at the news feed. They are always adding great up-to-the-minute news stories that aren't often available on the mainstream media. And so if you want to really, you know, augment your understanding of the world we live in today, I'd encourage you to go to republicbroadcasting.org and just look at the news feed. And when they take down one of the things in the news feed, you can find it below. That was brought to my attention when I was, you know, wasn't really paying attention that, yeah, it's still there. It's just below. And so I want to go ahead and, you know, mention a couple things. I finally got a blog together on my humbleweed.net website, but it's not posted. I actually have a webmaster because it's just too much to keep up with. So I got a webmaster for that, but I don't think he's posted it. If you did sign up, maybe you got it. I'm not sure. But it should come out Monday at the latest. I'm always adding, you know, content to the website, and I do have a high quality oregano oil thanks to Chris Beeman in Alaska, one of our listeners. She does have the highest quality oil of oregano from wild oregano plants, and she has shared that product with me so I can sell it. And so you can either get it from me or from her, oilofororegano.com or humbleweed.net. And other than that, I actually want to introduce my guest, and I tried calling him. I'm going to try calling him again and see if he's there, because he is one of those kind of guests that's going to take up the full 2 hours and has a lot to share. I'm going to go ahead and introduce him, and I'm hoping he will answer because he didn't answer email. I was kind of busy yesterday and didn't answer one of the emails, and I've been trying to call him and have had a little bit of issue. So many of you are familiar with him, but for new listeners, you may not be. His name is Clint Richardson. Yep, Clint Richardson's my guest. And, you know, I found out about Clint through his production of The Corporation Nation, which was followed by Lethal Injection, and then CAFR, or the Comprehensive Annual Financial Report. And then he put out the pension fraud hoax. And they were all such excellent, professionally put together documentaries. I was very impressed. But, you know, I live out in the middle of the boonies and was not able to stream them. So I begged him to please send them to Ron Neal with a dollar DVD Project Liberty. And I believe there is a link to that project on the homepage of republicbroadcasting.org, or you can just go to $1DVDproject.com. They are $2 now. Everything's gone up, but it's still so worth it to have those hot little DVDs in your hand and be able to share them with people. They're not. It's not always easy to find them on the internet. His website, The Corporation Nation, is no longer. He has two other websites, realityblogger.wordpress.com, and but on that website, it seems a little historical. And he has most of his stuff went into the deep dive he took while he was – I don't even know how he did it. He did a weekday show on RBN for 2.5 years while he was doing the deep dive into producing a book, The Straw Man, The Real Story of Your Artificial Person. And this is an epic work of 1,152 pages. I'm sure it started out as a much larger book. Thank God it's not, you know, bigger than 1,152 pages, but it's very well documented. It's absolutely epic. It's extremely important that everyone own one. I would suggest getting a hard copy, going to strawmanstory.com and supporting Clint's work. But since he loves the video venue, he is he hasn't stopped there. He started doing an update to Lethal Injection, Part 2, 2020 version, and it's actually another epic production. He wanted to go into a lot more detail of what's going on with this you know, coronavirus or COVID-19 epidemic. So he produced Wagging the Dog, Part 1, The Story Behind the Story of COVID-19. And that is, I'm going to put those links into the chat room. It's on YouTube at the moment. I'm sure someone's going to duplicate it on the other alternative sites. And then we have, he did an update too, called Lethal Injection Part 2, 2020. And there's a 17-minute preview on BitChute, and then there's Lethal Injection Part 2, also the full thing, 8 hours, and he at the station, if you want to go to BitChute, you just can find it pretty easy by going to Red Pill Sunday School. I love it. It's pretty cute. Red Pill Sunday School. So right now, I've been dialing him, and he is not showing up. So I'll go ahead and let me see. I'm going to have Ken try calling him. I don't know if you know his number, Ken, so I'm going to put it in the chat. Let's see. It's well, yeah, either that. I don't know what's going on with him. He seems a little bit scarce. He was today anyway, and I got an email from him yesterday, and I did. Yeah, I mean, Yep. And I got his new number and everything. I did talk to him before this. Yeah, that was kind of important. Yeah, he has a new, well, the Skype that I dialed is the new one, I think. Yeah. So anyway, I think people are getting the news that people are dying, right and left from this vaccine. We have Sherry Tenpenny and others saying that after they have the second injection, if they survive that, it'll just take them out, within, 6 months to a year. So, we have like around 25% of the population allegedly taking the shot. I can't warn people enough, but there's a level, I think I've mentioned this before, a level of mind control going on that is just blowing me away. I don't even know what to say. Pretty tough to see someone that actually. Yeah, Ed. Okay. Anyway, so I have my friends calling me and they're like, my gosh, my parents are insisting on getting it. They don't want to listen to me or my friends, and I'm hearing this a lot. And I just don't even know what to say with these kind of figures coming out from, the CDC, the FDA. It's just really sad, very sad. So, luckily, as we all know, this is not the end of our existence. We'll just be going on to another plane, but certainly our friends and family will be missed. The ones that succumb to the pressure will be missed, once their physical bodies removed from this experience. And it's we're still trying to get a hold of my guest, huh? Very odd. So yeah, it's 15 after. Kind of disappeared from the scene. I really don't know what to say. I guess we can go ahead and take callers because I didn't really prepare a lot. I've had a lot going on. I've been working on writing and just updating my website. I want everyone to be really clear that, the federal corporate law, if we still think that we have federal corporate law that works, you can certainly challenge the masks, the testing, as well as the vaccine itself. There's no mandatory. It can't happen with any medication or anything, any medical device, which a mask is, that is emergency use authorization. That's EUA. And, I can certainly put that code in the chat if you want it. I've been, trying to educate people. You could certainly write that letter to your employer. There's people that are making big bucks, pay me $350 and I'll write the letter for you. So, that with that said, there should be no reason anyone rolls over and accepts a shot like this. So, yeah, we have Marcus in Idaho. So, Marcus, yeah, go ahead. What's on your mind? Welcome to
Yes, ma'am.
no.
Yeah, thank you, ma'am. I was just thinking about the CIA extraordinary rendition program and all the doctors which were involved in the Towers Fall, which said it was okay to waterboard people. We had a whole military brigade of individual doctors which said, yeah, it's okay to do this. We're going to be involved with this. We'll find out whether whether this is too much or whatever. But mm-hmm. that the medical establishment is definitely more on the side of the government and the and big pharma than on our side.
Yeah, well,
hi.
Oh. Okay, well, thank you, Marcus. I really appreciate it. So, okay. So, yeah, I guess, Clint, can you just call Clint? Because I'd just like to say a few words about that.
Hey.
Oh, he is here. Okay, so we have Marcus and Clint, or we just have Clint? Okay, well, tell Marcus thank you for the call. I mean, I don't know if you heard that, Clint, but I gave you a pretty lengthy introduction anyway.
I did not. I apologize. I was actually at a doctor's office because my back is thrown out, and I was getting an x-ray, and I lost my wallet. And I was looking all over the place for my wallet, and I finally was like, I got to go. So I'm sorry.
Oh, wow. That is always, you know, it's like leaving your purse somewhere, which I did the other day. Luckily, it was delivered to me. But anyway.
Well, I don't think I'm going to be that lucky. But, yes, my apologies.
Oh, yeah, no problem. Yeah, you know, I was just looking all over for even your four documentaries that you did. And, yeah, at least they're at the Dollar DVD Project. I was really thankful. I made sure Ron Neal kept that alive, you know, because those are so excellent. I've basically given away hundreds, literally hundreds of copies of all four. So you really did. You've done some monumental work, Clint, and it's always an honor to talk to you because – you know, I don't know how you do it all. I really don't. I mean, you do the work of, like, you know, 10 people. But let's go into some of your most recent productions because I should announce this now. I was planning on having you on the 27th. I have someone else for the 20th. So in 2 weeks, we want to do a deep dive into the straw man story because I'm going to be having my own personal copy. But in the meantime, as soon as I mentioned that, our mutual friend decided he was going to lend me his copy. So I will have more time for his, you know, to dive into that before I actually receive him. So thank you. Shout out to my buddy for lending me the copy because I, you know, you can only do so much screen time and you know that, Clint. So, and that's another thing, you know, you have these epic productions. So which came first, Wagging the Dog Part 1 or Lethal Injection 2, Corruption of Blood? Which one came first?
Well, I was working on the Lethal Injection thing because it was going to be this big, long, you know, 30 or 40 hour production. It was just going to be everything that is involved, sort of a, if you will, a master class in vaccination and all the stuff that I've learned over the last 15 years of studying that, and turned into an expose on the medical industry, part one anyway, because of course you should never trust your doctor when it comes to drugs and vaccines. They're completely ignorant of, you know, for the most part, they receive no training on and everything. So that turned into a big long thing. And in the middle of it, I actually started working on the COVID documentary because I had found, so Wagging the Dog came out first and then Lethal Injection shortly thereafter. But, I just had to put everything down because I had heard these terms and I started looking around gain of function, for instance, which means, you know, man-made mutation, basically. And I started looking around for these terms and, you know, the way I search for things, I can usually find them. And I came across these panel discussions held by the National Institutes of Health, the National Security, Biosecurity Board, and, you know, all these different things. And lo and behold, there's Anthony Fauci giving the head commencement speech on how he was in charge of so many different gain-of-function projects, including H5N1, which is highly pathogenic already. Mm-hmm. And does not spread from human to human. And he actually funded the project that through gain of function or lab grown or lab made mutation made it transmissible from human to human, which would never happen in nature. And so now you've got this virus, this, you know, the flu virus essentially, that is transmissible now from human to human, and it's sitting in a biosecurity laboratory just basically waiting to be accidentally released. And I was watching these panel discussions, and keep in mind these are the actual scientists who are working on paid and funded by the NIH through, and again it's Fauci that's actually responsible for doing this funding. Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, he's standing up there next to President Trump all this time, acting like a complete moron about the subject, when in fact he, you know, they admit in these panel discussions that every pandemic type of disease we've had was something that had escaped from their labs. And so when I saw that, and I saw that nobody had seen these, like, you know, maybe a few hundred people had actually seen these, and they span back, you know, all the way to 2007, I was floored, and I just had to sit through all these, you know, all these discussions, pick out the good parts, and put them in there, because again, these are the actual scientists that are doing it. They admit it open. They admit it openly, and it's really shocking when you actually see it with your own eyes. I don't know if you got a chance to look at it, but it's pretty. I mean, it's. I'm still blown away by it, and it gives me a sense of extreme urgency.
Right.
Extreme urgency.
Okay, Clint, you start out the video with this.
Yes.
Yeah, that's the whole thing. You start out with it. So it's like that level of shock that all these people, especially for people that trust Fauci, and he's going ahead and talking about this. I mean, this is, you know, this is their goal, is to create these pathogens that have a gain of function into becoming deadly.
Right. And so
that is their game. So I mean, that is literally their game. And of course, you do have to do a mass poisoning ahead of time, which is why when they did the lockdown, they started unrolling 5G out like there was no tomorrow. So, you know, because they knew that maybe GMO and all the other crap that they've been unleashing on us wasn't quite enough. 4G wasn't enough. They had to actually ramp up the level of microwave radiation everyone's exposed to, and children.
Right. And, you know, my opinion is, after doing so much research into the subject, is that we're all damaged by vaccines. We're all damaged by, yeah. And it's not just vaccines. If you've ever received any type of shot, it could be human growth hormone. It could be you know, factor VIII. It could be anything. And you're looking at the ingredients in these things, and it always includes some animal product, which is going to wreak havoc on your system. You know, you're not supposed to be mixing your blood. That's why I call it a corruption of blood, because that's really what's happening. So, and I'll tell you, right now I'm working on part two, which is going to be probably about, and you know, I know when I say these lengths of time, people are going to be like, oh my God, well, we're basically taking hundreds of hours of panel discussions and taking the best parts and putting them into the second part just for posterity purposes. Because again, nobody's first of all going to search for these. I got lucky when I found it, and then I found the rest. And then, you know, I've got them now. You'd be shocked at what they say. They're talking about, most of this is. When they're in these panel discussions, they're sort of debates, and they're debating the risk versus the benefit. And they're literally in these ones I'm working on now, they're literally talking about an apocalyptic event, a complete extinction event. And they're measuring the risk benefit analysis. A bunch of psychopaths who call themselves scientists, who are not there. This is not science, by the way. Science is a study of nature, not the mutation of it. Right. So.
Right.
You're talking about creating patentable things is the most important part. But we're talking, I mean, they admit in 2016, one of the panels, he says SARS didn't exist in nature by 2016. So there was no SARS left in nature. It was all in the lab. They've got the bird flu. They've got these, you know, all these, you know, whatever they are, they're working on them and they call them viruses. So, you know, it's the most frightening thing you'll ever hear, because truly I believe these people are psychopathic, sociopathic.
Right.
Because when they're talking about how it might harm people, and why I want to put this out in a documentary is because one of the other subjects they're talking about is that they don't really, even though these are public meetings, they don't expect the public to see them. And so they're talking openly about how to speak to the public without frightening us. Right? When you're talking about an apocalyptic event, should we gain a function? Should we add the functionality of what they call the seven deadly sins? What are the seven deadly sins in gain of function research? Mutation, in other words. Well, make it more virulent, contagious, make it more deadly, make it airborne, make it resistant to drugs. These are all things they're doing in the lab. And this is the part that really needs to be understood. All of this would be illegal. In fact, it would be high crimes according to the biological weapons, both the international and the codified version that's in the United States code, which I cover in my first lethal injection, actually covers that code. But they put these exception clauses in. And so in the panel discussion, you hear from the military side of the Department of Homeland Security says, if we were doing this in the military, this exact same research, which they call basic research, gain of function research, we would be tried for treason and for, under the biological weapons code. But because the NIH is doing it for what the government has tagged as peaceful or research, general research purposes, it's not biological weapons research. The same exact research that the NIH is doing is not biological weapons, but if the military were doing the same exact research, it would be.
Right, that's shocking. Unbelievable. Okay, please stay tuned. You're listening to Clint Richardson on Immunize Poisoning.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Please view, like, and subscribe.
Ladies and gentlemen, J.R. Moore here. We have a special promotion going on at Republic Broadcasting. This is a fundraiser for Republic Broadcasting involving the Energy Cleaner. Mail me a postcard. My address is at my website at thelibertyman.com. We pick a postcard every other Thursday. When your postcard is drawn out, you get to buy an Energy Cleaner for $215 instead of $285, $70 discount. $200 goes to Republic Broadcasting. You also get a 10% discount on my mattress pads. So get those postcards in, put your name, your telephone number, your email address on there, and when your postcard is drawn, you get to get an Energy Cleaner for $215 instead of $285. Mattress pads, 10% off. Help us out at Republic Broadcasting and help yourself to get an Energy Cleaner at a deep discount. It's a win-win situation for everybody. We hope you can get these postcards in soon. Thank you very much.
Have you been looking for a trusted long-term storable food company? We have a solution for you. Simply Clean Foods is dedicated to providing the best quality food you can buy next to fresh from a farmer's market. Our line of resealable fruits, vegetables, and meats are suitable for everyday use, and you won't have to worry about throwing away valuable groceries ever again. Our food is completely GMO-free, and our stringent quality controls, plus testing for heavy metals, makes us unique in the storable foods market. Simply Clean Foods' primary focus is to bring clean food to people all around the world and change the way we look at freeze-dried food in our daily cooking. When you purchase from simplycleanfoods.net, not only will you be receiving high-quality food, but you will also be supporting veterans in need across the country and those who are affected by natural disasters. Right now, Amazon Prime members will receive fast 2-day shipping. Go to simplycleanfoods.net. That's
Okay, welcome back. Okay, you're listening to Clint Richardson. So we're going into some more detail about Wagging the Dog Part 1, the story behind the story of COVID-19. There is a link to it in the chat room at immunizewisely.chatango.com. So I'd encourage you to grab that. Hopefully, it's going to be on other venues. Is that right, Clint, other than YouTube?
It's on YouTube. It's on BitChute and a few other channels, Brighton, because YouTube actually banned Lethal Injection. So that's only on BitChute and a couple other channels. So, yeah, it's getting hard. That's the third video I've had banned from YouTube. So it's getting a little rough over there.
It's been bad on YouTube, even though I can't help it. I like YouTube because it's a really professionally laid out platform,
sure.
What can I say? I mean, I can speed it up pretty good and do all kinds of stuff. And
unfortunately,
you know,
though, it is, digging for a needle in a haystack, or perhaps crap is a better word. Bunch of crap.
I happen to really like quality music, so I go to YouTube for quality music in the background while I'm researching. So
right.
That's my default. But anyhow, that has nothing to do with the show. I'd really actually want you to share some of the other stuff to get people enticed to spend, time. I mean, you could always pause it and watch it in spurts.
That was my opinion. I'm like, come on, if someone's going to watch this and they're going to complain it's too long because they can't be self-responsible and press pause or watch it in periods, when at the same time they can watch 40 hours of some show on HBO for entertainment, well, then it's not me that has the problem. So I decided I was going to make this, like I said, this master class and eventually put the whole thing out. But in the meantime, I'm going to put it out in parts because, hey, this is happening right now. And when I say this is happening right now, I mean, these are, again, this is not science. Science is the study of nature. And this is opposed to me. We are in the middle of a war against nature, crimes against nature and crimes against humanity in a way that I don't think you can grasp until you hear these people speak about what they've done. And the reasons behind why they do it.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, the reason is usually vaccination. If we take, whatever influenza strain we're gonna do, and we recreate it in the lab, resequence it, genetically alter it, et cetera, we gain a function. In other words, we add a mutation that makes it airborne, that makes, any one of the, what they call the seven deadly sins, which I still find amazing, then, that's doing something that actually wouldn't happen in nature. But they're saying, well, we'll do it anyway because then we can find a vaccine, for it, and we can. So that's their justification, is basically there's two justifications, and both of them are very bothersome. Vaccination and the fact that this thing that they call science, which I refuse to call science. Science must never be hindered. There must never be something that stops scientists from going forward, or science from going forward. And I'm sitting there going, you people are nuts. First of all, you're not doing science. Second of all, science is a method. It is not something you just, a flattering title you put on. So science is a method. You follow the method, and then you're actually being scientific. But these people aren't doing that. They're using the term science as a cover to make biological weapons and all these crimes against nature and us, and the insects. And, this goes all the way into, your Monsanto, now Bayer. I mean, this is everything that's happening. And I got to say, one of the most disturbing parts about this, too, is the university system. Like, all these panel discussions, all these people that are doing this research, every single one of them is from a university. The university system, I think, has to be the most evil structure in the world. I don't know if you've
seen that. Believe me, I'm there. I am there. because they're totally controlled by the central bankers. You know, they will do anything for money. This is why our whole system, this corporate structure, is, you know, perverted people's heart, mind, and soul to sell out to money. And they will literally do anything to make sure that they can pay their mortgage payment or whatever it is. I'm shocked.
Universities, universities, and this would be, I'm kind of going back and forth between documentaries, but they're pretty much covering the same bases. The university system, I mean, if you consider what the university system does, you have to say, okay, what's its primary business? And it turns out its primary business is patents. All these research projects and all these things. If you go behind the scenes and you look, you're going to find that the university system is into trillions of dollars of patents. And
that's right.
All these drugs and all these different inventions. And they're constantly in patent wars trying to win over each other. And they're spending billions of dollars just in lawsuits to be able to claim their patents. And that's where all this stuff is happening. Patents, you know, when you're talking about patenting cancer and patenting pathogens that you've created in the lab, you know, this is pure evil, and it's frightening to even think about that. Hey, I want to research. I might have a cure for this cancer, but I can't do the research unless I get permission from the patent holder of the cancer.
Yep, and this is a game that's going on in all the universities. In Idaho, you may not know this, but the university is in Moscow, Idaho, the main Idaho University, and they're a huge portion of their funding is from Bayer, which was Monsanto, and their big research and patenting thing is trees. They are patenting trees. So we have a plot out here in our the county just north of us, and you know we're all freaked out about that. But you know, people are, unless they look at the state's budgets, you know, the appropriations, and they see all this funding, they're not, you know, half these people don't look there. So we have like a group, we did have a group, you know, Idahoans against GMOs or something, and it's since been defunct. But I remember them doing these marches, and they did one in Moscow near the co-op. I'm like, well, the co-op isn't really promoting GMO. Why aren't you doing it on the university? I couldn't understand what their problem was, and they just were absolutely ignorant. You know, I mean, it's like, wow, it's right in front of your face.
And then there's the history of the university is also really interesting. I mean, if you do a deep dive, again, because this is part of all of this, a deep dive into the eugenics history, you find that it originated in the university system. It was very, very well created and protected in the university system. Only then did it go over to other countries, other races. Yep. And you had black eugenicists, you have white eugenicists, you have Arab eugenicists. It's not a white thing at all, but it did go over to Germany. Germany was very happy to adopt the system that was created in the university systems. And now Harvard and all these different so-called prestigious, you know, prestige means trickery and magic, sleight of hand. But all these prestigious universities are now actually apologizing for their participation and basically creation of the whole eugenics system. So this is what we're dealing with. These are the same people, these eugenicists, essentially, that are now doing all of these gain-of-function research projects. So in other words, eugenics has just been, you know, I'm sure you know this, eugenics is now called genetics. It's genetics. Yeah. They're just calling it genetics instead of eugenics, and it's one of the most frightening things I've ever seen, because to see the organization, to see them, again, I can't stress enough that until you hear them speak and talk about what they've done and admit openly, you know, that they, for instance, that they dug up the 1918 Spanish flu, the crap that was in the lungs of a frozen Inuit Eskimo, and they shipped it back, and they resequenced it and patented it, and then only then was it released. When they tell you that H1N1 was released from a lab, when they tell you that you know, every single basically pathogen that has been a what we call a pandemic or potential pandemic, whatever the word they're choosing to use, has been a lab accident of some sort. And they admit it openly because they have to, because they're first of all, again, they don't consider these actual public meetings, even though that's a requirement by law that they have to have a so-called public meeting. But when they're talking, you know, they have to acknowledge these things as things that have happened. Otherwise, they can't have a debate on it, right? They can't weigh the risk and benefit unless they talk about things that have already happened. So now I'm into the 2020 and we're getting into the 2021 debate panels on the same subject, right? All these panels were basically saying, what's the risk benefit of messing with SARS, right? Now that it's happened, now it's a completely different world. Now they're not talking about the potential or the risk benefit analysis. Now it actually happened. So I'm real curious what they're going to be saying about that. And they seem to be keeping their lips tight on the subject.
Wow, interesting.
So, but again, SARS didn't exist in nature. SARS 1 didn't exist in nature. And they, again, openly discuss. The other thing is, you know, when this research in 2013, the Obama administration put a halt on the research because they were publishing it. And I can't stress this enough either. They're publishing the instructions in a scientific study on how to make SARS and MERS and H5N1, how to make it, how to give it a gain of function, a mutation in the lab to make it more virulent, to make it more contagious, to make it more this and that, to make it airborne, to make it that. They're publishing that so that anybody in the world, including someone in their basement or their garage that has the right equipment, can then resequence it, you know. And it's frightening to me to think that even when you look at the description of the so-called vaccine that they're giving with the RNA vaccine, I mean, it says right there, you don't need the virus. All you need are the instructions to recreate the chemical, you know, compound that equals the so-called virus, and you've created it, right? They don't actually need the pathogen. They can sequence the, you know, RNA structure. It's really, really frightening. I mean, okay.
I want to back up. You mentioned genetics, so. You know, we had, you know, Bush signed into law this 2006 Newborn Screening Act, and they've been collecting genetic material on everyone. That's why, you know, I was always freaked out because, you know, we have all kinds of ways of detecting whether you have tuberculosis bacilli in your body. But they only recognize a blood draw or, you know, chest x-ray, I think, is the only one where they're not, you know, technically getting a blood draw, but they generally have it by the time you get there, you know, or the TB time test. But they're always looking for a sampling of everyone's genetics through grabbing their blood in some way, shape, or form. And that's how they do it with the newborn screening. You know, they get all the, you know, the stuff. If you have a hospital birth, you know, you have you know, all the stuff from the birth itself. They always prick the heel. They're always trying to grab something from their genetics. And so they have virtually everyone in the population. There's very few people that ever escape being in a database, you know, of, you know, and having that, you know, having the government have hold of your unique genetic material. It's the one reason I was freaking out about, you know, organ transplants, that it's got to be one of the most diabolical practices ever, as well as blood transfusions. But when it jumped to organ transplants, I was like, that would, you know, I've told people that would have gotten me killed because I was going to expose that in the Auto Observer. And that was, I had to quit right then because I knew that would have made me totally die. And I knew I needed to live. So I thought, well, I can't go that far. Sorry.
Right. Well,
it's really intense when you start looking at this stuff. So do. You already know how intense it all is.
Well, I did a real deep dive when I learned about prions specifically, and you know, prions are something you have in your own body. And I wrote up all these things about prions, but specifically, you know, where do they come from? And that's, you know, transplantation. In other words, you're transplanting either, you know, allo transplantation or human to human, or xeno transplantation, which is, you know, animal to human. And all the government agencies, when I looked, they fully again show and source all the studies that show when you get anything from any animal that your chances of getting a prion type disease are very high, and that those they're extremophiles. They can withstand just about anything, and you know, can't be killed. In other words, if you even want to call it life, call it existence instead of life, kind of like a virus, right? But you know, you're talking about Krzysztof Jakob's disease and mad cow disease and all those different things. They say, in all their literature and all the reports I read, they say everything from dementia to cancer, you know, to all these different diseases are all related to this misfolding of prions. And what's really amazing about that word, you know, they say the prion unfolds and refolds into the new form, and it causes bunchiform encephalopathy and all that stuff. Really amazing is, you know, Jonas Salk wrote a book called The Unfolding of Man. Now, if you go to a dictionary, do you guess what unfolding means?
I don't know. I actually want to know. Wait. We have a commercial break. That's a cliffhanger. Or a clithanger, rather, huh? So, Mr. Clithanger, we're going to hold on to that, what the unfolding really means. Okay, thanks.
Hey, gang. Patrick Slattery here with an important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries, eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself. What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and the new app, Koshertified, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher certified is a win-win convenience for all food-conscious people. So why not check out thekosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the Koshertified app can make a huge difference for your future.
Extendivite 7-herb formulation is approved to help maintain cardiovascular health and help lower blood lipid levels in adults. Extendivite is made from hawthorn, garlic, valerian, cayenne, bilberry, ginkgo biloba, and milk thistle. The herbs in Extendivite have been chosen for their ability to help with overall health. Many people have reported improved energy and stamina in just a few months. If you think you could feel just a little bit better, then Extendivite may just be for you. Extendivite is an all-natural supplement. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
The show, we're getting close to the top of the hour, and the cliffhanger was we want to know about what the unfolding of man really is, and that Jonas Salk's book by that title, very fascinating. So you want to share?
It's interesting because I've seen a few articles lately that point to prions being a part of the way that this COVID thing is spreading, and there seems to be a lot of concern about that. Now, I remember back when I had my show, probably back in 2016 or so, I remember getting this horrible, horrible article that said they had, in the laboratory, that they had made prions airborne. And, you know, I'm like, why would you do that? That's the craziest thing, right? This is what causes mad cow disease and, you know, these horrible, horrible dementias and everything else. Why would you possibly do that? And, you know, now that I look back at that, I realize, oh, that's gain of function research. I didn't know these terms until I heard them in early 2020. So they were put a gain of function onto prions and made them airborne, which I think is probably the craziest thing I'd ever heard until now that I understand that this is a normal thing that they do, these seven deadly sins. What does a prion do? It attaches to your healthy prion. It's usually the scrappy, which is from a sheep. It then unfolds your prion so that your prion no longer gives protection to the cell it's protecting, you know, from cancer and other things. So, a very important part of your whole structure. Tau is another word they use for it. But so what is unfolding? Well, if I go even back to 1828, evolution. The act of unfolding or unrolling is the definition of evolution. So when Salk says the unfolding of man, he's talking about the forced evolution of man. And if you follow that line, you're going to see that's exactly what this is all about. They are evolving, and you call it mutation, but they're evolving things, and they're trying to evolve or de-evolve, depending on how you look at it. Either way, it's the act of unfolding us and refolding us into their image.
Right. So we would call it devolution rather than evolution. But they're always using the same words to mean the opposite.
Sure. And, you know, but to them, it is evolution. So it's all about perspective, right?
Well, transhumanism, you know, that's the prime
example. To the devil, transhumanism is evolution.
Right. Okay. Thank you.
Is your property a financial burden and causing you grief? Have you tried to sell but can't find buyers? Or are you just too busy to sell your property? Don't worry. We have the right solution for you. We buy properties as is, with cash, close in 30 days, and pay all closing costs. Our service is ideal for property owners who are in pre-foreclosure, have high-end repair costs, experiencing financial hardship, going through costly divorces, are relocating, need cash for retirement, suffering family loss, or have tax liens. Whatever your situation may be, we can help you sell your property and get the money you need. If you own a single-family home or multiple family units, call us for a free consultation at 888-910-1037. That's 888-910-1037. Or visit our website at cashingproperty.com. That's cashingproperty.com. Sell your property fast and leave all your worries behind.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.